Welcome to The Grow Show. Grow yourself, grow your business, grow your community. Here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey folks, and how are you doing today? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. And this is a bit of a special one because I am talking to one of my friends of the show, Keith Mournable, all about his new book, Anti-Manipulation. Now, I've known Keith for a number of years. We worked on a couple of different projects together. He's been a host on one of our Grow Lives. Plus, also, I've been on his podcast. He's been on here. And you can find more information about anti-manipulation, not only by visiting his website, which we'll give details about later on, but also we recorded an episode back in August about it. But I wanted to get him on now because the book has been released. It is now available to order, to read, to enjoy. So I'm going to bring him in so we can have a little chat about it. So, Keith, welcome to the show. How you doing, buddy? You all right?
I am fabulous as always. Thank you so much, Gary. Great to be back.
It's fantastic to have you back. It's been a while since we've actually spoke, so I'm also using this as a bit of a catch-up, which is quite cool. So, for the people who don't know you, and there'll be a few people out there, tell us a bit about you before we get into the book and the nitty-gritty of the episode.
Cool. So yeah, my name's Keith Blake Mournable. These days I'm the mindset master. I help people with NLP, hypnosis, coaching, all that sort of groovy stuff. I help them to overcome fears, phobias, overcome unhelpful habits, overcome mindset blocks. And I've been doing this for about 13 years, helped thousands of people around the planet to master their mindset. Before that, for 20 years, I was in IT, and that's kind of how I ended up doing what I do now, because I was in IT, doing well in IT, but I was painfully shy, I was terrified at the thought of speaking with strangers. Eventually, things came to a head, and I had to do something about it. Me being me, that something turned out to be learning NLP, hypnosis, and coaching right up to train the trainer level, thinking I would use it just to sort myself out. Found I was quite good at it. Helped lots of other people, thought, you know what, it would be nice to do this as a career. 20 years in IT, it's time for a change, but I couldn't afford to take the pay cut of a change in career. And then a magnificent stroke of luck, my position was made redundant. I was given a wheelbarrow full of cash, told never to come back. That was 13 years ago. I transitioned to be a coach. I've been helping thousands of people around the world. It's taken me to many, many parts of the world as well. Worked in and spoken on stages in US, UK, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, led a group in Nepal and Tibet for an expedition there once. That's me in a nutshell, basically.
It's a big old nutshell, and it's certainly one of those kind of, when you put it all like that, there's so many bits to pick apart on it. And we've spoken about previous episodes about your journey, about the incident that caused you to start going to hypnotherapy and start learning about the hypnotherapy and going from there. And it's all really kind of inspiring stuff for people who are listening to it. So the people who are in a job that actually they're not too fond of, or they like, but actually they've got a passion somewhere else and they want to see how that works. You know, you've got your story is fantastic for kind of highlighting where you've got a chance to do it, an opportunity to do it. You took it, which is fantastic, but that's only towards the end of that journey almost. It is.
Yeah.
Because you had to start doing it. You had to be open to it to start off with. So many lessons you can learn from this guy. Honestly, folks, please check him out further. Now, today we're talking about book. We're talking about anti-manipulation, the book that Keith is holding up right now. There you go. For people who are listening, he's literally just held it up as I said that. That's timing for you. Now, this isn't your first book, is it, Keith? So tell us a little bit about your book journey to this point.
Yeah, so this is the sixth book that I've done. It starts to get a bit addictive after a while. it's my second solo book. So the first four books, they're all called Winning in Life and Work. They're different books in the Winning in Life and Work series. What I did with those was I got together various other experts, coached them all in creating a chapter each. Now, when we're not talking one of those books where you have like two or three pages, these are decent chapters, 6,000 words, about 20-page chapter. That's equivalent to about a three-quarter of an hour a keynote talk. So each expert had that chapter in the book, coached them through it, handled editing it, publishing it, took them all through a launch plan. And originally that came about because I was on an advanced speaker course, and one of the things that the trainer told us was that obviously writing a book helps elevate your expertise status, because if you've written a book on the topic, people perceive you as being a more credible expert. And a trainer also said, you know, something that some people do is they get together and they get a few people to all contribute into a book. So you spread the cost and everything between you. You all market the book together. And that's an easier way rather than writing a whole book. And I thought, that would be an excellent idea. I love the sound of that. So I put a piece of paper up the front, said, anybody who's interested, pop your details on here. We'll share the details around and we'll see what happens. So did that. Several people put their names down. I emailed it out to everyone, thinking, right, somebody's going to run with this. We're going to be in a book. Yeah, this is awesome. Nobody did anything. This went on for a few weeks. I was thinking, nobody's doing anything. I really want this book to happen. I suppose I'll have to lead it, which was a massive step out of comfort zone for me. But I stepped up, sort of led it, and several people went, I'll join in. And that's how we did it. I learned a huge amount along the way. It was like herding cats at various points, getting everybody to contribute their chapters, keeping everyone on track. Learned a lot about the whole self-publishing side of it, because we self-published because there would be no way you'd get a traditional publishing house interested in a book written by 11 unknown people. We did a launch campaign, got the book out, sold quite well. And at the end of that, I thought, I'm never doing that again. A year or so later, I was thinking, actually, that wasn't that bad. And I learned a lot from it. I'm not going to make the same mistakes. It's going to be much easier second time round. So did it a second time. Sure enough, didn't make the same mistakes, but hit whole new levels of problems and so on. We got that one out. I said, never again. About another year later, decided, you know what, let's give it another go. Did a third book. So they came out sort of every couple of years. It took about a year to coordinate it all. By the end of the third book, I decided, I'm not saying never again, because who knows what will happen. Had no plans for the fourth Winning in Life and Work, but through a series of coincidences and strange events, I ended up getting, I think it was about 20 people together for this, for that one. And we produced that book. So that's kind of the run of the Winning in Life and Work. Will there be a fifth one? Possible, but I think things have moved on. But never say never. You never know. If the right circumstances arise, it could come out. Mm-hmm. Then in the pandemic, back in 2020, everything went online. Now, for those who don't know, I live up in the northeast of Scotland, so I'm like a million miles away from anyone when it comes to physical networking. So it made it really hard. I'd been in for networking in their Facebook group, but was never able to actually physically go to any of the meetings because like an 8-hour round trip is a long way to go for breakfast, right? Then pandemic came along, went online, and I dived straight in, and I started doing talks at the guest spot at as many of the events as I possibly could. I had a talk which was going down well. In fact, several people booked again and again to come and see that one talk again and again. I think four times one person came along to see it, specifically to see that talk, which is humbling and very gratifying. And people kept saying, you should write that book. You should write that as a book. You should turn it into a book. And I kept thinking, I can't be bothered. But eventually, there's only so many times that can happen. And hey, let's face it, there was nothing else to do during lockdown. And I'd got this, pipe cleaned the whole process of publishing a book with the previous four. So I thought, you know what? Let's do it. So I wrote that book, published it during lockdown. And that was my first full solo book. And that was The Masks We Wear. So that was book number five. Thoroughly enjoyed that. And that then leads us to this one, book number six, which, which has now just come out beginning of March 2023.
Brilliant. So before we start kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of anti-manipulation, I've got a couple of questions about based on what I've just heard, because obviously you've said actually those famous words that everybody echoes once after they've done something, never again, never again. That could be a sporting event. I'll never run a marathon again. Nah, never do that. I'll never publish another book. Nah, I'll never run another online event. You know, whatever it is, you know, hey, never launch a radio station, whatever it is, you know. But you then decided to do it and again and again and again, which I think actually, do you know what? That's almost separates you from other people, because I know when I talk to people about those kind of big highlights or big kind of projects that they've done, that they've learned loads from, it's almost like in my mind, you have to do them again to see how far you can actually take it, how much you can refine the process of doing it. And as you said, the second time around, you run into different problems. Than you did the first time. And I know when I do multiple kind of large projects, the second time is always different to the first, both on the fact that I know kind of what I'm expecting, but also it does throw up loads of other stuff, which wasn't even in my radar. So I kind of get it. That never again kind of stuck with me. But you still did it and did it and did it. Now you're only six time round. My big question is, what's harder for people to do? Collaborate with other people to form a book, like you did with Winning with Life, or Winning for Life. I can't remember. Sorry, I might have messed up the title there. Collaborating with other people or self-publishing your solo effort. What's harder, or are they each their own little beasts in their own different way?
I would say they are. They each have their own advantages and they have their own challenges. Certainly, if I hadn't done those four Winning in Life and Workbooks, I doubt I would have done The Masks We Wear. The fact that I'd gone through the whole process of the first four books meant I had a much deeper understanding of how you take a book from an initial idea through to a launched, finished product. Because there's a lot more to it than you often think. I mean, people very often think the hardest part is writing the book. No, it's not. Once you've written the book, you've kind of only just begun. You've got your first draft. You've then got all your editing. You've got to check the book, make sure it all makes sense. Can you tighten it up? Can you make it snappier? Are the bits you've missed out? Does it flow properly? All of that. You've got all the proofreading side, then you've got the layout to do, you've got the cover design to think about. That can be a whole set of challenges in and of itself. Then you've got the publishing. Now, you can use things like Amazon's KDP and just dump it all in there, but you've then got very little control over it. If you want to do your own full self-publishing, so all of mine, they're published under my company name, so my company is registered as a publisher, which means I've got full control over it, which means I've got it in a huge number of places, far more than just on Amazon. But it's easier now because I've done it a few times, but if I hadn't, then it would have been really daunting, and I probably would not have done that fifth book, which means almost certainly this book would never have come into being. They all have their challenges. I mean, when you're working with other people, you've got the stresses of keeping everyone on track and getting them to meet the deadlines. But on the other hand, that also gives you that little bit of a kick to go, oh, sure, yeah, I better make sure it hits the deadline, because I can't tell everyone else you've got to hit the deadline and then not hit it myself. Whereas when you're writing a book by yourself, you've got nobody chasing you, so you don't have that pressure, which then means the deadline comes and goes, because it was never a real deadline anyway. It was just an arbitrary date you set, and it makes it much easier for it to slip and slip and slip. So plus, when you're collaborating with other people, you can bounce ideas off. Now, sometimes it gets a nightmare, because I mean, if you've tried to design anything by committee, it can be a nightmare. But on the other hand, just having other people who are on that journey with you, who understand what you're going through, understand the vision you can discuss things, bounce ideas off, and come up with suggestions you'd never have come up with on your own. So there's pros and cons to both.
That's completely fair. It was just one of those questions that I had to ask because I was interested in it. If I was interested in it, other people will. So I think for anybody who's listening to this or watching this, just contact Keith and just ask him about the process in a separate conversation. I'm sure you don't mind that.
Absolutely. And
because that could be a good introduction to book writing for some people, especially if they've got, like you said, a collaborative space where they're working with people.
Yeah.
But we've been talking for 15 minutes and we haven't really touched on your book. So let's get into the nitty gritty of Anti-Manipulation, the book itself. So first of all, what it's about, what is Anti-Manipulation? Where did the idea come from? And what is it, dude? What is it? Tell us about it.
Cool. Three very, very easy, simple, short questions. So the book, Anti-Manipulation, it exposes, basically shares how they manipulate you into buying their stuff. That's it in a nutshell. I mean, basically, think about when you buy something, are you buying it because you want to buy it? Or are you buying it because they have manipulated you into wanting to buy it? And how would you even know that that had happened? When I was writing the book, I did a survey on several social media platforms. I did it on different ones to see if the results were different. The results were pretty much the same across all the platforms. I asked people a question. On a scale of 0 to 10, how easily do you think you could be manipulated into buying something? Where 0 means absolutely impossible, and 10 means I didn't hear the question, but here's my credit card. So on a scale of 0 to 10, how easily could you be manipulated into buying? The majority of people rated themselves around about 1 or 2. Like, it would be almost impossible to manipulate them. The reality is most of us are in the 6 to 9 level. 6 to 8, 6 to 9, random at there. We can be fairly easily manipulated under the right circumstances into buying something. Now, the fact that most of us believe we can't puts us at a disadvantage because it means we're not even open to the possibility it could happen to us. So we're not on the lookout for it, which means we don't spot it when it happens. Now, some people did kind of touch on what's actually going on here, because a couple of people said, I could never be manipulated into buying things. I only buy things when I want them. And that is true. And that is also where the manipulation comes in. Because they don't manipulate us into buying the stuff. They manipulate us into wanting to buy it. And then they come in, swoop in with a crazy offer, which, oh, by the way, it's a time-limited offer. We've only got 6 of these, and the closing date is in half an hour's time, and there are 8 people already wanting to buy. If you want to buy it, hurry up and buy now before it goes. So they manipulate us into one feeling that we want to buy it, and then swoop in with the offer, and then add the pressure on by making it limited and forcing us to go, let's buy it now. So you don't have the luxury of the time of taking some time out to think about it. Oh, if you think about it, it'll have gone. Oh, I better buy it now then. And that's what happens with manipulation. And so the idea behind the book is to share with us how this stuff works, point out the sorts of things that these people are doing, so that when it happens to us, we can be more aware of it and go, hang on, I see what they're doing there. So we don't get suckered into this manipulation, so that if we do decide to buy it, because sometimes what they're offering is genuinely something of use to you. That absolutely can be the case. But when you do decide to buy, you're buying from an informed position because you genuinely want to buy for your reasons, not because they've manipulated you into rushing into buy it. I should point out, there's absolutely nothing wrong with sales, nothing wrong with selling whatsoever. People want things, people have things to sell, you get together, exchange money for the goods, products, services, or whatever, everybody's happy. Nothing wrong with selling at all. It's when people move from, hey, buy my stuff, to manipulating you into wanting to buy their stuff that you don't need, don't want, very often can't afford. So that's what the book is about, and helping people to avoid falling for that.
Mm, No, it's so many good points. So many good points. I can remember the last conversation we had about this, which I'll put the link to the last episode in the show notes for anyone who wants to watch it on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. So I'll put the link into that because it talks about really what we covered last time. When did it sort of start? What industries do you normally see this happening? I can remember I got my mind blown when you said about this, because I didn't think, I thought of a couple of industries and you said, nah, still said loads of other ones, which I didn't realize. So yeah. And also how you can avoid it. But I'm going to go to that question now, because people listening to this podcast or watching it on YouTube, they've heard what you've said, but how can they avoid it? What can they, after they've read your book, what steps can they take so they're not put into that pressure oven, that situation which allows anti-manipulation to happen?
Great question. The way the book's written is, for each of the areas that we cover, each of the topics, each of the manipulative approaches that we cover, we sort of explain what it is, how it works, and we just also sort of flag up how you can spot that it's happening. So the red flags, if you like, to look for, so that you can be aware that it's happening and sort of remove yourself from the pressure. Because the way much manipulation works is it's all about manipulating our emotions. Because when you're really emotional, really high up in emotion, or your logic, or your analytical, your rational thought goes out of the window. When you're really hyped up and in an emotional state, the logic, the rational thought, completely gone. You probably notice that when you get really, really excited about something, you find yourself doing things, you think, oh my word, why on earth did I do that? Crazy.
They would say that you shouldn't make any important decisions when you're at a high level of emotion, so highly stressed, or that. They do say that, so...
Yeah, exactly. And that's why. And what these unscrupulous people do is they manipulate our emotions. They get us really emotional, sometimes really positive emotions, sometimes really negative emotions, because they'll make strong use of that as well. So when you notice that you are being emotionally manipulated, pause, take a breath. Don't go along with what they're telling you to do. I mean, a common one that's used, and the thing to remember is there's not a single, they won't use just one single manipulative technique. There's lots of techniques. They all pile them on. It all works in layers. They all build up. But a common technique that's used by a lot is the pit of despair, where you get the person into that pit of despair, feeling that their life is really sucky. Things are horrible. It's awful. This, whatever it is, look at what it's costing you. Look at what it's stopped you doing for your life. Now, step 5 years into the future. Just imagine you've done nothing about it. Look at all those opportunities you've missed, all that money you've lost, all those relationships you missed out on, all the enjoyment that you didn't have. Now, step 10 years into the future. Look how sucky everything is. So they get you really, really picturing how awful life is. The ones who teach the pit of despair technique, they will say, if you can get them crying real tears, so much the better. You're onto a winner there, because you want to get them in really feeling that life is horrible and hopeless and it's and then you swoop in like a knight in shining armor. What if there was a way that you could have everything you want? You could turn your life around. You could avoid whatever it is that's holding you back. You could break those chains. What if you could have that? What would that be worth you? What would that let you do? How much money is that going to help you get? Oh, it's going to be worth hundreds. It's going to be worth thousands, tens of thousands to me. Fantastic. It's going to be worth tens of thousands of pounds to you over the next 5 years and all those amazing things you can do. Isn't that worth £1,000 now? Buy this now, but we've only got five of these left. And when they're gone, they're gone. Oh my God. Yeah, here's £1,000. Whoosh. And you swoop in. Because they've manipulated you emotionally into feeling that life isn't worth living anymore. But if you give them £1,000, life will be wonderful and you'll make tens of thousands. So it's absolutely fine. When you find them engaging in your emotions in this way, kind of stop and go, you know what? I'm not going to imagine that. I'm just going to sit this bit out. and wait for the next bit of content so that you don't get so emotionally manipulated, which means when the offer inevitably comes, you can consider it in a more rational, logical, analytical way from a much more calm, focused perspective where you're in control of your emotions. I mean, it's like they say you should never go food shopping when you're hungry. I don't know if you've ever done that. I've done that before. Gone for my fortnightly food shop.
Guilty as charged. And you always walk out with a couple of pork pies that you don't really want, but you always have, unless you're exactly. vegetarian or vegan. But exactly. you always walk out with stuff you don't need. Completely get it.
And it's the same thing here. They make you hungry, and then they offer you the goodies, and you just swoop in and buy them. Whereas,
so when we were kind of just listening to you talking there, there's two things going around in my mind. I've seen this happen, and I've seen this happen in talks. I've seen this happen on social media, on blogs, and loads of different places. I've seen it happen. I've even had conversations with people trying to do this without, maybe they didn't realize they were doing it because they were taught how to do it, maybe. Mm-hmm. But equally, when you say it and when you hear it in this circumstance, so in this environment, so when you're watching a podcast, watching it on video or listening to it on podcast and removed from it, you kind of think to yourself, I can see what they're doing. You can see it. You can see they're getting into a heightened state of emotion. They're getting to the point where actually they're making you realize what their life would be with or without their solution. They're not offering you the golden pill, that solution to solve it all. It's so obvious.
It is.
But that's because we've all taken a step back.
Exactly. So you're watching it from a dispassionate point of view. But when you're in there, in the moment, and getting all hyped up, because, I mean, we talked about how they use the pit of despair, but there's dozens of other things that they're also doing to really manipulate you. So they've got all these other things going on as well, so that you don't really stand a chance, basically. When you're in there, caught up in the whole emotion of the thing, it's so easy to fall for it. And I mean, I've fallen for it in the past as well. And I'm not saying, oh, look at all you falling for that. I would never. I've fallen for it as well. We most of us probably have done it at some point or other. But there's so many different ways in which they manipulate. Some will do it without using the pit of despair at all, because they've got lots of other tools in their toolkit to manipulate you into doing it. So that's what the book itself covers. It looks at the different ways in which they do this, different flags for you to go, oh, they're doing that. I see they're doing that. And they're doing that. All right. Let's the alarm bells ring. Because an important thing to remember is just because they might be doing one of these things doesn't necessarily mean they are manipulating you. They'll often be that the whole, hey, you want to buy the book? We've only got 10 copies left here. First 10 to buy it, get it. The rest of you disappointed. Very often that is used as a manipulative technique. Very often they use that to train you to just run unquestioningly to the back of the room, buy now, ask later, because if you don't, you'll miss out on it. They use that to kind of train you, so when the big sell comes at the end, you're already primed to, oh, run, buy, quick. But not always. There will be some times where perhaps they've been at an expo or something, and they have got a few bits of stock left, and they are flying back to the US or flying back to Singapore or wherever, and they don't want to have to cart these books around. You know what? We got 10 of these books. Yeah, you can buy them half price each. Less hassle than us freighting them back. Sometimes it is genuine. So just because you see one of these things happening doesn't necessarily mean they are manipulating you. But it's when you see a few of them together, it's like, oh, okay, I see a pattern forming here. Right, let's just sit this one out.
Makes sense.
So that's the aim behind it all.
That makes sense. And I suppose the real question is, where can we get your book? Where can we get this piece of information? Because you've just given us one kind of example with the pit of despair. And you've kind of, and yeah, I can imagine there'll be some people, like you said, who have literally got 10 books and they just want to flog them before they go back. They don't want to carry them. Makes sense. I get that. But the book obviously covers a lot more. So how can people get their hands on a copy? This is your blatant time to sell stuff now. So just go for it, dude. Go for it.
Cool. I'll cover the question that some people ask first, and then I'll talk about the book. Some people say, well, how do I know you're not manipulating me into buying this book? The easy answer is, if you genuinely feel I'm manipulating you into buying the book, don't buy it. Simple as that. Don't buy it. Go away. Think about it or ignore it. So I don't want people buying the book who don't want to buy the book. But if you think it is of interest, you want to check out a bit more, it's available, as they say, in all good booksellers. It's available in paperback. It's available in ebook. So you can buy it from places like Amazon, from Barnes & Noble. You can order it through any bricks and mortar bookstore. You can get it in ebook on Apple, on Kindle, on Nook, on Kobo. So all the major places where you can get books, you can get it, or you can get it the paperback copy directly from me. Happily sell it to you. I'll even scribble my name on it if you really want to devalue it. And you can find out all of these places, find out more about the book, get a flavor for whether the book is actually of interest or not by going to antimanipulation.com. You'll find out more about the book and the places you can buy it, or as I say, even buy it directly from me if you so wish.
Aces, aces, aces. So, Keith, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Always a pleasure. I can spend all day talking to you. And thank you very much for coming back onto the show. For the people who are watching and listening, I will put links into the show notes of the one place you can get it, to antimanipulation.com. Nice and straightforward. Keith's made it that simple to do it. And also, I'll put links into previous episodes so you can get more info about this. Because honestly, we can talk about this all day. But please don't. As Keith said, if you don't want to buy the book, don't buy the book. Yeah, but
absolutely,
the main thing is having your eyes open to people doing this. And for me, that's why I wanted to get Keith onto the show, so he can share just some tips. So actually, even if you walk away from watching this or listen to this and you go, oh, okay, I know a bit about the Pit of Despair now, you know, that's great. You know, for me, I've done my job in terms of giving you a bit of value and giving Keith an opportunity to share his wisdom. But if you do want to buy the book, and just to let you know, I've ordered the book, so therefore I'll be getting it in a few days' time. So can't wait to do it. So by the time this airs, I'll be tucking into it, which is great.
Brilliant.
It is. But the big thing is, please, please just have your eyes open. Don't make any decisions when you're highly stressed. Check out the book if you want to, but also pop onto the website because there's loads of really cool information and resources on there. And I know Keith has been on many different podcasts talking about this book as well and some of the techniques. So please listen to some of those as well, because even though we haven't covered some topics, he might have covered those topics and covered other questions on those podcasts. So please check those out as well. Keith, before we go, obviously, antimanipulation.com is the main place to go to. Have you got any final thoughts or any final words of wisdom before we close this episode off?
Great. Great question there. Any words of wisdom? I think if there's one thing that I'd like people to take from this, it's and I'd love to take credit for these words. These words aren't actually mine. These are ones that I got from a mentor of mine, Clinton Swain, who is the world's number one experiential trainer. Does some great trainings, and there's a flip chart which he has, which I always remember, and it says, emotion high, intelligence low, and that very much applies to all the scenarios covered with anti-manipulation as well. It really neatly encapsulates it. When you're in a highly emotional state, all rational thought goes out the window. So don't make any decisions when you're in an emotional state, whether that's in a bad emotional state or whether you're in a euphoric state. Make your decisions when you're much calmer. Emotions high, intelligence low.
Wise words to finish it off. Thank you very, very much for that. And thanks a lot for spending time today. And viewers, listeners, Thank you very much for joining us. If you've got any questions for Keith, please put them into the chat or comments or wherever you're doing it. Please share this with anybody who you think is going to give value to. Check out Keith's website. And thank you very much for watching. And if you like it, why don't you check out some of the other ones at the same time and check out some of Keith's ones as well, because he's got a few kick-ass podcasts as well. Take care, folks. Thanks, Keith, for joining us today. Really do appreciate it. And folks, see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.